Okay, good Erev Shabbos, everybody. This week is Parshas Behar, and the title of today's talk is One Day at a Time and the Mitzvah of Shemitah. So let's understand this week's Parsha. It talks about Shemitah in a particular way. We know the basic Mitzvah of Shemitah is that once every 7 years, we're not allowed to work the ground. We are prohibited in specific ways how we store the food. The food has to be kept accessible and available to all. So there's a message that the land doesn't belong to us. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then every seven cycles, there's an additional Yovel year, which is, so in essence, there's 2 years of not working the land. And the Torah raises a rhetorical question, which is a certainly reasonable question. And the Torah raises a question that, v'chisomru manochol bashana hashavis, if you're going to say, what will we eat in the seventh year? Right? Hein lo nisuf, lo nesuf, v'tvuaseinu. We're not going to be able to sow. We're not going to be able to gather in the grain and the produce. So how are we supposed to eat? Now, Hashem answers in the Pasuk, V'tzivisyas birchasi, I'll command my blessing, and basically there'll be enough food to last for the seventh year, and enough food will grow in the sixth year, really to last through for the seventh year and the eighth year, and then the Mefarshim also say, in a Yovel year, you really need part of the ninth year, because it takes time for the new crop to grow. Now, the Ramban raises an interesting point. The Ramban says, the literal reading of the Pasuk is, Kisomru manochol bashana hashviyas, if you'll say, what will we eat in the seventh year? Now, the seventh year really shouldn't be a problem, because the seventh year is supported by the produce of the sixth year. The produce from the sixth year grew abundantly, theoretically, and also has no prohibitions on it. So the Ramban says that you have to reverse the order of the Pasuk. The Ramban says that it's really saying, v'chisomru bashana hashviyis manochal. If you'll say in the seventh year, what will we eat in the eighth year? Meaning, because in the seventh year you can't gather in the food and you can't either work the land. So come the eighth year, there's only going to be wild sprouts, though the land wasn't cultivated, and there'll be a lot less to eat. And then Hashem says that I'll bring a bracha already from the sixth year. The Kli Yakar has a different pshat. He says like this. He says that, you know, that the Pasuk reads more accurately, if you'll say in the seventh year, what will we eat? And notwithstanding the logical objection of the Ramban, it's a lot better to read the Pasuk straight, if you can. So he makes a comparison to the Mon. Because by the Mon, even though they had plenty of food and they weren't starving, the Gemara in Yuma says that the Pasuk says, Vayancho Vayarivecho, the people were afflicted and they were starving. And what was the starvation? So one answer, the Gemara Numa on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph says, is, Einu doyma mish yeshlo pas basalo, l'mish einlo pas basalo. That one cannot compare, we'll first translate that phrase literally and then we'll explain what it means, one cannot compare one who has bread in his basket to one who does not have bread in his basket. Meaning that psychologically there was a tremendous discomfort that the Jews experienced with the mon, because it came every day and you couldn't gather for more than one day except on Erev Shabbos. That was the exception to the rule. But if you tried to gather more than one day's worth, it actually would spoil if you tried to hold it over. If you tried to hold it over, it would spoil. If you tried to gather more than one day's worth, it would really amount to the same amount no matter what you did. So the message was very clear to the Jews in the Midbar that you have to live on this day to day. And that meant that they always could worry, well, we'll starve the next day. And of course, the message was to have bitachon. So the Kli Yakar makes a comparison between Shemitah and the Mon, and he's saying like this, in the sixth year, right? Come the sixth year, everything's fine. You grew a normal crop. You have no prohibitions on that food, but you are already going to feel like you're starving because you're worried about what's going to happen in the seventh year and what's going to grow in the seventh year, which will then lead you to starve in the eighth year. So you're going to actually end up conserving and rationing your food and eating much less. So you're going to suffer because of the fear that you're going to run out. So in this particular case, the answer that the Torah gives, is v'tzivisis b'rachasi, Hashem will give his bracha, he'll command his bracha to come on the produce of the sixth year. The Jews will already see a nes, they'll see a miraculous bumper crop, and also that the food itself will be blessed and it will be satisfying, and they'll understand that Hashem is with them, and therefore they won't have the fear that they're going to run out of food. So they won't be disrupted in the seventh year, being concerned about running out of food, even though they have plenty of food now, worrying about the eighth year. So a lot of times, the problem for us is not the present. It's the thought of the future that makes the present unbearable. Our mind sets us into panic because we fear what is going to happen. The moment itself is, even though it can be difficult, is often not unbearable. There's a story, I don't know if it's true, because it raises some other interesting halakhic questions, but there's a story about the Stipler, the previous Stipler Gaon, that he served in the Russian army, that is known. In serving in the Russian army, one of the things that the soldiers had to do was they had to take guard duty at night. They took turns staying up at night and keeping guard. And apparently they had a heavy, it was a freezing cold Russian winter, and they had a heavy fur coat that was reserved for the guard. The soldier that was staying up at night on guard, he could wear the heavy fur coat. And according to the story, again, I'm issuing a disclaimer that I'm not sure whether or not it's true, but according to the story, the Stipler, the previous soldier left the coat hanging on a tree branch. And apparently he held that to take the coat off would involve manipulating the tree branch, even though there's so many different halachic issues over here. It's tilta minatzad. It's actually not minatzad, it's kalachariyad. No, I think it's what we call tiltum and atzad, and then on top of that, it's, makom tzar lo gazru, but whatever reason, he didn't want to take the coat off the tree, and what did he tell himself? He told himself, according to the story, right now I'm not freezing to death. As soon as I really feel like I'm freezing to death, then I'll take the coat. And, that's how he did it the whole night. So, because he was able to live in the present, he was able to bear what otherwise would be really a very painful and impossibly cold experience. Now, this idea of pas pasalo is used many times in Shas, oftentimes explaining this concept psychologically, that when you have some kind of reserve or safety, you feel more able to cope. And when you don't have any reserve or safety, it makes even the present more difficult to deal with. So the famous example is by the Mishnah and Yoma, by the person who would walk the Seir la'azazel, the Ish Iti, that would take the Seir, the scapegoat, through the wilderness. So they set up at intervals stations with food and water, even though it was Yom Kippur, and they would say to him, "Harei lachom mozen, harei lachom mayim," in case you need to eat or drink, because it'd be a situation of pikuach nefesh, you could dehydrate. And they say that it never happened that the person ever had to eat or drink on Yom Kippur. And they say, why? Because ein doma mishesho pasto salo la misha ein lo pasto salo. You can't compare someone who has bread in his basket, meaning psychologically, since he knew every at periodic intervals along the journey, if he had to eat or drink, he was able to sustain himself. But the inverse is true too, that if he didn't have the ability, if he didn't know that he could eat, then he would have felt his starvation much more strongly. And what's striking is that many times in Shas, the pas basalo concept is used in a sexual context. So for instance, the Gemara in Yuma Yechesimut Beis discusses how Rav, whenever he came to whenever he traveled, and Rav Nachman, whenever they traveled, they would basically solicit if anybody was interested in marrying them. And the Gemara gets into all kinds of halachic problems with that approach. Basically, one answer that the Gemara gives is it wasn't so much that they married them, it's that they were available for marriage. And the Gemara's comment is, Ein doma mishleisho pasvasalo, mishein bo pasvasalo, that this prevented them from any temptation, because if they really felt desirous and they felt that there was no way to manage their Yetzer Hara, they could, after all, marry this eligible person. That's one example in the Gemara where pas basalo was used in a sexual context. Also, the Gemara in Yevamos on Samach Beis talks about that if a husband makes a neder that he will not have relations with his wife, and the neder extends for more than a week, then he has to break the neder or it's grounds for divorce. So Gemara raises a question. Why? There are plenty of individuals whose work and occupation keeps them away from the home for weeks. A sailor only comes home once every 6 months, and that's his mitzvah of ona. He's only required to fulfill marital relations every 6 months because that's the job that he had. And there's a whole discussion whether he changes jobs, but whatever the case may be, that's his job. And so the Gemara says, why is it a problem if he makes an oath that he will not have relations with her for more than a week? So the Gemara says, because she can't bear the thought that it's going to be 6 months. Kolzman, that he's away, she thinks, maybe he'll surprise me. He'll come home any day. You never know. The boat might have had to turn around. He might have made better timing. And that's what Rashi says. Rashi says, but the woman, where she knows her husband made a neder, he's not going to have relations with her, she can't bear it. Again, the concept of pas basalo being used in a sexual context. And what we need to understand is, right, that one of the keys in any addiction recovery is to learn how to live one day at a time, is to learn how to stay in the moment, because it's the future that becomes unbearable. The moment to momentarily deflect, a particular desire and say, well, it's just for another day, is really quite manageable. It's the problem is that the feeling is it's never going to end, and it's really a ruach shtus. You know, the Gemara says in Sota, in Gimel Levad Aleph, Reish Lakish Omar, Ein Adam Over Avera, Elab Kein Nichlas Bo Ruch Shtus. Reish Lakish says a person doesn't sin except if some insanity, temporary insanity, goes into his mind. And the temporary insanity is, you know, the feeling that this will never end and I can't bear it. When in reality, moment by moment, these things certainly can be born. A person finds himself in a situation, a problematic relationship, where things aren't going so smoothly right now, or person finds himself to be single and doesn't see an end in sight, it makes coping with the sexual temptations almost unbearable because you feel that there's no end in sight. But in reality, right, in reality, the future has not happened yet. So one day at a time. In reality, the whole future can change. It's interesting to note that the Chazon Ish, in his Sefer Amudan Bitachon, he defines Bitachon different than the popular notion. The popular notion of Bitachon, what most of us learned in grade school, is basically have faith in God, and he'll take care of you and do what you want, fulfill a lot of your wishes. which is certainly a possibility, and we're supposed to daven for the things that we want. Anything we should daven for if we want it. And tefillah definitely can help. But the Chazon Ish says that bitachon is not that. It's not a feeling that everything's going to be okay. It's a steadfast belief that whatever happens is the absolute and total will of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's a very different prospect. It's a very different idea. It's not that everything is going to work out fine. We might actually have to experience a little difficulty, maybe even a lot of difficulty, during certain times in our lives. But the bitachon that the Chazon Ish says a person is supposed to have is that everything that is happening is absolutely and completely Hashem's ratzon. And what that means is, now, at first, that sounds very depressing because it means, you know, well, it doesn't make a difference. Maybe things are going to be horrible. But it really means something else, too. It means that everything is purposeful and everything is by design. And so, if a person finds himself in a bad state, that state is something that Hashem wants to happen. But the opposite is true, too. That means that at any moment, if Hashem should not want it to happen, as impossible and as far-fetched as it may seem, at any moment, if Hashem were to wish, it would be the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the status to change, it would change momentarily. Keheref Ayin, Yeshua Hashem Keheref Ayin. So a person who's in a very bad situation, a very painful situation, feels like it'll never end. In a terrible relationship, single, can't find anybody to be married. While it's true that this is happening, the whatever actions that one can take, whatever zuchusim, whatever tshuva, whatever davening, whatever actions one could take, if it would impact on the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if it would position the person differently so that they would merit a different outcome, then nothing is out of the question. And the next moment can be completely changed. The message of Shemitah is very clear. Hashem says, it's a pasuk, it's not a Musa sefer. Hashem says, Ha'oris lo simoker l'smitzus, the land should not be sold forever. Ki li ha'aretz, because the land belongs to me. Ki geirim v'soshavim atem imodi, you are just strangers and guests with me. We are strangers and guests in this life, and everything is really up to Hashem. What's going to happen to us? We have to, of course, position ourselves that we would be zocha to as much of the goodness and hashpah that we can get. But it is completely, you know, Hashem's in charge of this. So the point here is that our difficulty in the present moment and the feeling that it'll never end, what makes it so unbearable, is a distortion. It's untrue. The present moment can be very painful, but the future is totally unwritten. The future is dependent on the acts that we do, which could change. It could allow the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change based on our merit. So we need not feel trapped, and we need not look at the future. Now, the final interesting point is, how do we, you know, orient ourselves around the fears of the future? We want things. We don't want things. We want good things to happen. We fear bad things to happen. So the Or HaChaim on the pasuk of Kisomer Manochal, he says, there's two ways of understanding the pasuk. Are the people saying, what will we eat, and therefore, how can we do this mitzvah? Or are they saying, they're asking Hashem, how will we eat? In other words, they are basically being mispalo. How will we eat? So the Or HaChaim says, in Per Chafei Pasuk Chaf, he says that it's disrespectful. If the Pasuk is not saying, people are complaining, well, what are we going to eat? And we can't do the mitzvah. No, he said, if that would be, then they wouldn't get Sivisias Berchasi. They wouldn't get the answer that Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I will, you know, put forth my command for blessing. Because that's not Derech Eretz. He's saying that the tone and tenor of what the people were saying was a question like a son to his father. Father tells you, listen, I want you to go to the city and pick up some apples for me. So, and the son has no car fare. So he says to his father, sure, how will I do it? And the father will say, I'll give you a ride, or I'll give you money for car fare. So he's saying that the request is, chisomer manochal, not how can we do this mitzvah? We'll do the mitzvah, but we're asking, so can you take care of us? You can take care of us, how are we going to eat? And then Hashem's answer is, mitzivisi es birchasi. So we're allowed to wonder about the future. We're allowed to be fearful about the future. The tone and tenor, though, is we're going to do whatever we can. We're ready to do whatever is expected of us, and we daven and say, well, manochal, how are you going to help us? How are you going to take care of us so that our future will be good? Okay, if you wait a moment, I'm going to shut off the recording and open up the conversation.